change is afoot in our collective culture. Women are being invited, perhaps more than ever, to play a starring role in this new paradigm. Today's conversation with the worldly and wise Suzy Lula invites us to get curious about what we are being called to let go of as we reimagine a world where women take up space unabashedly and allow themselves to fully shine. So with that introduction, let's just jump right into today's episode.
Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation.
Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. If you're new to listening, today's episode is a perfect place to begin. And if you've been a listener for some time, thank you for continuing to tune in. Suzy Lula, welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood after more than a year. We're always in each other's lives in so many ways. But for the listener, you were my very first interview, my very first guest. And that was on episode 4 after I had done a first few starter 1, 2, 3 episodes, and you were episode 4, and we kicked it off with You Are Worthy. And I'm so excited to have you back because your messaging and the way you're able to really, it's not even explain, it's deliver beautiful messages to women, to individuals, to begin to create change in their own lives, to move from places of possible pain, past woundings. It's a needle mover, and your work is game changing for sure. So I will start there to say welcome and thanks for being here once again.
Thank you so much for having me again. You are my soul sister. I'm so grateful for our relationship, and I'm so grateful for all of your listeners to get to hear this message today about stepping onto your own world stage. I love how you started today, that women are more needed than ever before. We are being called in different ways, and so may this conversation inspire all the sisters, all the women out there everywhere. May you leave feeling so fed and nourished and inspired to take up space, like you were saying, and shine your light. So yeah. I'm delighted to be here.
Yes, thank you for that. And for those who don't know, our relationship is I met you, I believe it was at the end of 2000, it was the beginning of 2021. So 3+ years ago now. And I started to look at your individual courses, like the Emotional Messenger System or the Language of Self-Compassion and or the Inner Child. And I just fell head over heels and put my earphones on and I would listen constantly. So for anyone who's new to Suzy's work, she is a longtime spiritual therapist for about 25 years. So seasoned, so studied, so a person who lives out the messages and practices every day. You are the creator of Soul Care Certification, which is on its third collective of students coming through, both coaches and individuals seeking to learn from you. And also the last year founder of Permission to Thrive. It was a group I was in with you with 12 women from around the country. And, you know, through the years you decided this is the title. This is what it needs to be to bring those messages to the world, to allow women so they can give themselves and individuals, women and men, permission to thrive. So that's a little bit about you for the listeners who don't know your work yet.
Thank you. And I love that today we're talking about shining your light, embodying, taking up space, and that our first interview a year ago, and congratulations on this beautiful podcast. I was honored to be your first guest and am honored to be back today. But I actually love the trajectory that we began talking about worthiness. Mm-hmm. And I believe that women and stepping into our individual and collective sense of worth and sense of self is so needed. It's that first step. You know, us women, we haven't even, when you really think about it, yeah, been even able to own credit cards or vote in the past couple of hundreds of years. So yeah, generations before us have been very disempowered. So this is a time in mm-hmm. history where individually and collectively as women, we are just literally beginning to step into and peek into what does it mean to be a woman and embody a sense of worth on this planet at this time. So I love that we started there. For anyone yeah. listening today, you know, you may want to go back and listen to it again. For those of you who are new, please dive in. It was such a rich conversation. And then I think it just laid such a foundation for us today to say, okay, what is this next mm-hmm. step? We really are being called for a new conversation is needed right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm mm-hmm. so happy to be in a new conversation with you and all of your beautiful listeners, all women everywhere.
Yeah, I love that so much, Susie, because I look at my own journey of growth, self-growth, and I love that we did do worthiness last year. And so women are waking up. I feel like you just named it. That was going to be one of my questions, like, why now? But there's an awakening happening. And I think as more women are stepping forward to take that rightful place, others are watching. And so then they have that permission to go like, oh, if I know when the women, I always heard women before me say, if I can do it, you can do it, that kind of thing. But you sometimes still don't believe that that's true for yourself. So the worthiness is so important to me. And it's where we can kind of start the conversation, because I have a creation. Let's say a woman has a creation. She has something that's been kind of calling her for a while. She wants to bring it to life, yet there's old patterning that gets in the way. There's the conditioning that you named, the ancestral stuff that's coming through that keeps women small. You know, maybe our mothers never worked outside the house, and our grandmother, maybe our father was always the breadwinner. There's so many different scenarios that we ingested those messages. And so I thought it would be really worthy to have a conversation about, well, yeah, it is true that most of us have a lot of baggage that we're carrying, or I don't even know if that's the right word, but a lot of layers.
Yeah.
To kind of work with in order to truly shine. And that's been my experience, that I don't leapfrog through all of those and all of a sudden I have this booming new creation. It's like, oh, I feel friction. Oh, I don't feel enough. Oh, I've never earned money before like that. These are all these different layers and scenarios.
Yeah, you've said so many gems, so many gems here. So first of all, I so agree with you. It's understandable that we feel this denseness. We all have been probably hearing this message, it's your time, you're here to shine. And we do have those promptings inside, and we do want to live that rich, thriving life. And we often can be met with that density and the baggage. Mm-hmm. And I believe with all of the women that I've spoken with, clients, students, friends, our generation has not had the modeling mm-hmm. of mothers before us, yeah. I'm generalizing, and women before us. We haven't had the modeling. We really haven't witnessed and seen women and mothers thriving. Mm-hmm. And some mothers may have worked outside of the house, not worked outside of the house, different degrees of what we did witness. But I can speak for myself. My mom never gave herself the permission to shine. Mm-hmm. And so if we haven't witnessed it, if we haven't modeled it, it's one thing, you know, we've all heard that cliche, do as I say, not as I do. But actually what we do, and for any of you listening who are moms, you know this, our children do what we do. Yeah. They actually don't do what we say. It's a bummer sometimes. But it is, first of all, understandable because we have not witnessed it.
Yeah.
And yet, to your point about the time being now, for those of us who are parents, when my son was born, it became radically important to me. For him, especially as a boy who would one day become a man, who would one day maybe have a partner, to show him something differently and or show him something different. And to your point, yes, I bumped up against all of these, quote, rules that I hadn't been overtly taught, but I had been taught, like, don't be all that. Who do you think you are? Be nice. Fit in. You want to be accepted. You don't want to stick out. You'll be too much. Don't be the first one. Give everyone else first. Put yourself last. Oh, that's selfish. You're really going to go do that retreat when you have a four-year-old? What? So many different cultural, familial messages that we have been indoctrinated into. And so I love mystical sisterhood. I love our listeners, your listeners joining together and going, well, somebody's got to be the first ones to go, okay, well, we're going to say, really, is it selfish for me to live my best life? Could it really be detrimental to Will to see me living my best life? So I think just recognizing that, yes, we do have the baggage and we can support each other to say that we're needed.
Anyway. Yeah. I love it because your body of work and the who you've worked with and now ushering students through, and it gives you this wide landscape to see, I think, even common ways it shows up for people. And there are commonalities, right? Like all those messages. And when you're listing all those messages, I'm getting exhausted. And it's not surprising that so many of us, I think it's happening younger and younger, but that midlife overwhelm or exhaustion or I'm tired or whatever it is that brings someone to this sort of work, it exists. And when you were finishing, I was really thinking, and it's possible. There is infinite possibilities of what can emerge for us when we begin this new commitment. You just beautifully said, I feel like you were like ahead of the curve when you had Will, your son, and you thought, I want to do this differently. And you were able to access skills. I knew that I wanted to do it differently when I had kids, and now they're 18 to 23, but I didn't know how. And so all those years in between, I kind of struggled and bumped up against myself. But now, you know, through mystical sisterhood, through permission to thrive, here we are. How do we do this? The time is now, and we need tools to be with ourselves in a new way, new intention settings around what that looks like. So can you talk about that and where we begin?
Absolutely. Your reflection is so rich for everyone listening. I hope everybody's on the edge of their seat like I am. I would say that not only were we not modeled of seeing women willing to have the courage to thrive, but we also were indoctrinated into such a toxic patriarchy and such a toxic masculine paradigm. Mm-hmm. So most of us women were taught not only be nice, it's selfish to take care of yourself, I'm going to feel guilty even if I go take a walk around the park if I have a child. Not only have we been indoctrinated into that, but we were indoctrinated into these messages that say our worth comes from our doing. And so we have really masculinized motherhood. And I know my mom was a martyr. And so when I had Will, I was a martyr. And I got accolades for not sleeping and not eating lunch and being exhausted and overwhelmed, being the mom, you know, doing room repping and having a career. And we receive accolades. The more we do, the more accolades we receive. Mm-hmm. And when you ask about tools, I will say, yes, I have a couple that I want to share. But honestly, I also came into this work because, and this passion, because honestly, I didn't like the mom that I was showing up as. I found myself impatient, was what I found myself impatient with Will at every turn. Yeah. And it was because I was exhausted and overwhelmed and carrying on generational patterns and not giving myself the permission to go walk around the park. When I did give myself permission to go walk around the park, I felt guilty the whole dang time I was walking around the park. But what, and this will be the first tool I would give, is when I began to have compassion for myself, and it seems antithetical because here I am showing up as an imperfect, impatient woman, what I began to do was say, oh, it's so understandable you would be so impatient. It's so understandable you would feel overwhelmed and exhausted. I wanted to be loyal to my mom's way of doing things, even though what you said, we both, and I believe most women, we want to do our lives differently, more expansively, being true to ourselves, true to our authentic nature. But we also have that loyalty to what we've seen before. So I heard this phrase, and I've used this phrase, and you know this phrase, and anyone who's taken any of my classes, it's a phrase that I believe to be one of the most healing phrases that I've heard on planet Earth, which is, it is so understandable. It is so understandable that we women are tired. It is so understandable that we women feel overworked and overwhelmed and undersupported and undervalued because we are. And so the first step is to put your hand on your own heart and look at your own trajectory of how you were raised. And as soon as you look at the trajectory of the generations that have come before you, you will immediately see, oh, it is so understandable that I'm afraid to go be the first one to take a walk around the park or put my own salad on the plate, you know, at the same time, if not first, before I feed someone else. These simple tasks, I mean, it's the simple actions that I find with my girlfriends, working with my clients and students. It's the taking of the walk around the park or going to the yoga class or whatever it might be in your world. We feel the promptings, but we railroad over them. So the first step is to say, it is so understandable. And then when you feel it's so understandable, you will immediately feel your nervous system begin to relax. And you create that inner coherence with yourself. You drop down from your head to your heart, which is where we all want to live anyway.
So, Susie, what I'm hearing you say too, for using that, that can really be with anything happening in your life. It could be that you're late to work because you got stuck in a traffic jam and you can feel your nervous system flooding, or it can be that you've just experienced a split with a longtime partner and you don't know where the heck you are in your life. Like from the microcosm to the bigger things in our lives, it's all there for us to turn and witness our own experience. I feel like that's so important because we do, with the doing that we've been indoctrinated in to always be doing, performing, running, I feel like that's really focusing on the outer. And so this whole really novel concept, which is, it's crazy to say it's novel in 2024, but it still is. To me, it feels like we're on the forefront of a movement. And how could that be? Because you've been doing this work for, you know, 25 years, right? But maybe that's because the forefront doesn't just last for 1 month or 1 year, but the forefront is actually, given how where we are in history, the forefront's actually a bigger space in time. That's sort of an aside, but that's kind of coming to me.
Yeah, it takes what it takes. It mm-hmm. takes many years to anchor it within our own consciousness. And then, as you were saying earlier, once we begin to practice it in our own world, then other women begin to yeah. see, oh, what are you doing? What is working for you? Mm-hmm. And this phrase, it's so understandable, and you were referencing that it seems a little novel. What I think is so potent about it is because we women are such connectors and we're such empaths and we love connecting. And so if you were to come to me or call me and go, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so exhausted. I'm feeling so overwhelmed right now. I just was so frustrated with a girlfriend or one of my kids. I would be feeling inside of me, oh, Maureen, it's so understandable. That's how I would authentically feel towards another. Mm-hmm. And so what you're offering when you said the U-turn and novel about bringing it back to ourselves, and it goes back to what I was sharing, we've been raised in a toxically masculine environment. And so what that phrase is an example of reclaiming what is feminine within us. Mm. We've been raised void yeah. of what is feminine within us. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is bring it back to ourselves, the same way that I would have so much compassion for you if you were telling me that you had a hard day today. Mm-hmm. That is what we women do. We're empathic. We're connectors. We're mm-hmm. compassionate. But these are all feminine qualities yeah. of being.
Yep.
And so we don't get accolades for those, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right?
No.
But when you put it back on yourself, oh, Maureen, it's so understandable that I would feel overwhelmed and exhausted. Then you connect with your own self
yep.
and your own feminine qualities and ways of being start to awaken.
Well, and I love it because it just made me think of when we learn to nurture ourselves in that way, the inner response is one of like, oh, I feel seen. I feel heard, finally. And when we can feel that way, it's more likely that we get more comfortable with taking up some space, with yes. stepping into our space, which is correlated to if we're being called to a newer way of being in whatever way that looks like for somebody. It can be that you want to start a new business, you want to begin writing more. It could be that you just want a presence with your family in a new way. You want to really improve your relationships. But the more that there's an internal part of us understands, wow, I'm worth it. I love that. I love the tie-in of the messages and why it's sort of, because sometimes I have that question. I know it because I've transformed. I've seen all these other people in your classes do the work, but you kind of think, oh, compassion, can it really be that powerful? But it's because there's many things happening internally with us when we give ourselves the yeah. compassion.
Oh my gosh, you're just speaking my language. You know, I had that for so many years, like compassion, could it really be that powerful? Mm. It seems like such a simple word, or you hear the word kindness. Really? Is it that powerful? And I really, with each day and with each client and with each student that I see literally transform their lives, it starts this power. The power of compassion is so underestimated and so undervalued in our culture. And when you think about it within ourselves as self-compassion, like you're saying, to the self-compassion is the building blocks. It creates the atmosphere and the fertile roots and ground and soil that then have us say, oh, maybe mm-hmm. I will start writing that book today. Like you're saying, oh, maybe I am more worthy than I think. I will tell you, for me, what started happening. So I, as I was sharing, I didn't like how I was showing up with Will. I was very impatient. At every turn, I'd be impatient and then beat the, you know what, out of myself for being impatient. So I was in one of those spirals or circles. And what happened to me was, as I was applying this self-compassion and learning more about it, and then giving myself permission to go take care of myself, I liked how I was showing up better. Mm. The part of me was recognizing, oh, I am worthy, and my nervous system is calming down. It was that attention to and on myself, mm-hmm. that was the opposite of narcissism. Yeah. Because as I share in my book, it is actually very narcissistic not to take care of yourself. It's very narcissistic actually to be a martyr and not take care of yourself, because I would be that shining example of walking into a room and my whole family could feel that I was in a bad mood, or they better walk on eggshells, or, you know, I was sending out loud messages when I was running on empty and running on fumes. Yep. And it's a very courageous act, because we've been so taught that it's narcissistic to put the spotlight on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But putting the spotlight on ourselves in order to heal and feel that inner connection and that inner self-support, there is nothing like inner self-support. Mm-hmm. When we start feeling that way, my experience was, I liked how I was showing up better. Yeah. And you were referencing that earlier, regardless of anyone listening, whether you're wanting to start a business, or you are wanting to write a book or become a coach, or you are wanting to show up in your family in the way that you know you want to show up, or show up for yourself, this is essential. This is the starting point. And to really embody those feminine qualities of being are the very thing that will miraculously miraculous, you know, I love the name of your podcast, Mystical Sisterhood. There's just something that happens in our nervous system, and it reconnects us to our essence. And every single one of you listening, every single one of you, you're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose, and you might have buried it deep down, but as a little girl, you knew who you really were. You knew you were all that. Yeah. And I hope that this conversation is helping everyone get reconnected to that light inside. And I know I'm all that, and it's okay to shine, and I'm here to shine, and I'm not going to spend one more day hiding that darn light.
I love it. I love it all. I have one question that I have to wait with, because the thing that's coming to mind, Susie, is we haven't named it yet, but the training that you had, and that you really is the foundation for Soul Care certification and your work, is the art and practice of spiritual psychology. And I would like you to talk about that, if you could, a little bit. I would think that many listeners are not aware of what that is, and it forms the foundation, because what we've been talking about so far is a lot of what we experience on the human level. But it would be, you know, I would be, you know, amiss if I didn't address your teachings at the soul level. So can you talk about spiritual psychology? And because you just named, we're all here for a purpose with our, you know, with our own work or way of being that we are uniquely bringing to the world. And that's soul work. So what do you think? Yeah.
I will tell you, I hope everyone, by the time you're leaving this conversation, is as passionate about these two words, this phrase, spiritual psychology, as I am. The first time I heard the phrase spiritual psychology, I'm like, yes, please. Because when we think of the word psychology, we think of healing, and we mostly now think of healing the mind. We think of therapy. But the origin of the word psychology means the study of the soul. And through the industrial age and the informational age and this toxic masculinity, we have condensed and constricted this expansive study that was meant to be the study of the soul. And we've reduced the study of the soul to be the study of the mind. Yeah. The study of the mind is excellent. The study of the mind is great. I'm forever fascinated by the mind. It's important. And we're leaving out an entire dimension of our being, which is our soul, our spirit, our heart, the invisible part of us. There's a part of us that is going to be eternally living even after we're not on this physical plane. And that is what we all share in common, that we're not going to be here forever. And what happens to us? We are a being that is here for a temporary amount of time. And for me, the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I don't want to miss a moment while I'm here on earth of recognizing that, yes, I am human and I love my human life. And I'm also so much greater and larger. And we are here for a purpose and a reason. And so to feel that, yeah, we have the opportunity to not only be connected with our body and our mind, but we also have the opportunity to live that expansive, joyful, transcendent, mystical, mm-hmm, divine, soulful self. I think, again, as a young child, every one of you listening, you might not consciously remember, but when you think of children, they are literally in a world that I like to visit. It's just a magical, mystical, out of the box, out of this world. And little by little by little, we've all been trained to get into the box of this world.
Yeah,
but I don't want to live this without experiencing the soul. So the connection, the bringing together of the mind, the body, and the spirit, I think it is the future. I think it is where we're headed. Mm-hmm. And I think we're, especially women, hungry, starving for, yeah, it, and for sure my passion.
Oh, it's so good. Thank you for that. And why it's been important for me, it helps me understand my place in the world. It's a much softer place when I can understand that I'm supported by a friendly universe, that actually I matter. I matter because I'm here to bring forth who uniquely Maureen is. And Susie's here for Susie and all the women that we know and the men who are in your programs. We can look at them so eye to eye, but soul to soul, like, wow, I'm really curious about what gifts you have to bring. And that's been a gift of even this podcast for me. There's no shortage. There is no shortage of spectacular people who have woken up to their gifts, but hey, let's keep on lining up so we can all get to that place where, like, these are my gifts and stand in them so beautifully and steadfastly. And I feel like it's what we're here to teach the next generation, who are also here to teach us the old ways aren't working anymore.
Absolutely. I love what you're saying so much when you talk about everyone listening. Every single one of us has these unique contributions and these unique purposes. And what that does is it takes us out of the world of competition, and it takes us out of the world of lack, and it takes us out of the world of comparisons.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so easy for Maureen, but I could never, or, oh, it's easy for her, or, mm-hmm, I'm jealous of him, or I'm envious of them, or it takes us out of the comparison. Mm-hmm. And this world is so based in duality. It's based on comparisons and lack and competition, and this person's better and this person isn't, and striving for this and less than that. And the world of spirituality is also very science-based. So I use the word spirituality, but any one of you might use science, and you reference something that I'll speak to in a moment that is science-based. But this idea for everyone listening that you are here for a reason. You have a place in this universe. You're not here by accident. There's a reason, and this is your time. Yeah. This is our time as women for certain. But whether you're a woman, man, regardless, it is your time because you're here now.
Yeah.
So you don't want to waste one more moment without giving yourself that permission. And then you spoke to that everything is happening for us. And I always reference Albert Einstein, a scientist, mm-hmm. who was the first person that I ever read who had said, the most important decision we will ever make in our lives, the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life, that's a big preface, is whether you believe that this universe is for you and the experiences and circumstances that are happening are for you. And that can be a kind of large pill to swallow sometimes for anyone right now who's going through a dark night of the soul or having real challenges in your life or feeling fearful or scared or have a health diagnosis or you're having disconnection and conflict with a family member or a child. I mean, I'm not taking it lightly. And though I am saying from the perspective mm-hmm. of the soul, this is happening to help you awaken, to help you live out your best life. It's seeking to wake you up.
Right.
And so these messages that you've just been referencing are the foundation, some of the foundation, abundance, mm-hmm. joy, everything's happening for you. These are some of the basic principles where science and spirituality align. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the things that we practice, but when you have these foundational principles and practices, it does allow the journey of the courage that mm-hmm. it does take to begin to say, okay,
yeah.
I am here for a reason. And I know for me, I'm an introvert and I've been very shy at times mm-hmm. to put my teachings out there, so to speak. You know, what are people going to think? What if nobody comes? I mean, there is vulnerability that comes. I'm a pianist. Mm-hmm. And so for any of you listening who are artists, there's vulnerability with putting ourselves out there, especially as women still mm-hmm. in a man's world. Mm-hmm. We're still in a man's world. So for women, putting ourselves out there, and you and I are both white women, but for women of color or women of minority cultures, fluid, trans, like it is vulnerable for us to put ourselves out there. One of the reasons I love mystical sisterhood, we got to be sisters and support each other. But for everyone listening, please know you're not alone. It takes courage. Mm-hmm. What you were referencing, Maureen, when you begin to awaken to, wow, I am here for a reason, and you begin to reconnect with those inner promptings, there's still then the next step of like, okay, it's going to take some courage perhaps mm-hmm. to put myself out there and to take the steps that I feel prompted to take. So,
yeah. And it's just dawning on me that, okay, we've talked about that the real things that emerge for us in life and the application of understanding and compassion. And then you have the greater, you know, holding of ourselves within a friendly universe that these things are for us. Yet sometimes those kind of concepts, when we're not quite ready, maybe our nervous system is not ready to fully be on board with that, it goes back to then the compassion and the other word that's so big within your teachings, of course, is safety. And so while it doesn't, if even Susie's sharing and my sharing today of these broader concepts is like, yeah, I've heard that, not for me, not, there might be a not ready for it, that's fine. Let's work on those parts that, of course, like with the compassion for what you're going through and creating, because when Susie was explaining that it's so understandable, it's creating a safety within that, like, that you can feel the way you feel. You can feel angst. You can feel anger. You can feel sad. You can feel grief. You can feel resentment, regret, whatever it is. Those are all okay. Let's greet them with these really beautiful ways of greeting ourselves like we would a small child, like we did would do with anyone we love. That's why I love the framework of the spiritual psychology, because I feel like concurrently and simultaneously, you say like almost like multidimensionally, a lot of things can be going on at once. And when we make that sort of commitment to ourselves, like, and I'm curious about this application of compassion, and I'm curious about maybe putting myself first, and I'm just knowing that those things are those foundational building blocks, and the rest is so important, and it all comes together at some point.
Yeah, I will say the quality you're referencing of safety is paramount, because we will allow ourselves to shine, mm-hmm. and we will allow ourselves to take up space to the degree that we feel safe in doing so.
I love that.
And so if we are not yet at that place where we feel safe to shine, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That is our own nervous system sending us the message, oh, I don't feel safe yet. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful place to start to create that inner safety, that inner environment in your nervous system where you're saying, you are safe to shine mm-hmm. in the privacy of my own consciousness, you know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we could talk a whole hour about how to cultivate inner safety. But another word for safety is self-acceptance, and learning, as you're saying, I'm accepting all parts of myself. I'm accepting the parts of myself that used to be very impatient mm-hmm. with Will. Mm-hmm. I'm accepting those parts of myself. I'm not condoning the behavior. I'm accepting with compassion. I didn't wake up in the morning seeking to yell at my kid. I needed to learn compassion, safety. And so as we begin to cultivate inner self-acceptance, you know, we can't experience judgment and acceptance at the same time. Mm. So as you begin to accept the darker, intense, uncomfortable places, as well as the light-filled, joy-filled, light-filled places, and you begin to just experiment mm-hmm. with meeting them, embracing them, befriending them. I'm sure many of your other episodes, and on my podcast, Permission to Thrive, many of my episodes are dedicated to exactly how to do that. What does that look like? Please go back, listen, re-listen. Those will give you lots of roadmaps and practices. And then to the degree that we feel safe, that's why I love this particular conversation when you are saying not only individually, but collectively as women, it's our time. Mm-hmm. It's our time to shine. Yeah. And so as we learn to connect with other women and acknowledge other women and support other women and celebrate other yeah. women. Wow, Maureen, you're shining. Mm-hmm. Wow, you go, Maureen. Go to that finish line. I'm yeah. your girl. I'm your biggest fan. I'm your biggest supporter. And when we find the women and we express to the other women and mothers in our lives, mm-hmm. like, you go, girl, even when you're stumbling, even when you're exhausted, but you're giving it a go. When we begin to see each other and support each other, that creates cultural and collective safety. Mm-hmm. And when someone calls me and says, you go, Susie, or yeah. I call you and I go, you go, Maureen, or any mm-hmm. of you listening yeah. are feeling like you got two cheerleaders right now, Maureen and Susie, wherever you are in your life, you go, mm. take a risk, take a step, yeah. that creates safety. And when you start feeling safe, like Maureen's got my back, Susie's got my back, another sister's got my back, you will take some risks and it'll even be okay if you fall. Yeah.
I love that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So good. It's so good.
Yeah.
You know, before we recorded today, we were talking about this concept of it's not just for a few of us. And I think that probably based on the patriarchal, you know, the conditioning that came down there, we never felt like it could be this expansive space for all of us, but it's truly here for all of us. I love what you're saying about the safety. And when we look to our inner world and that self-acceptance, maybe we were judgmental of our outer world before, or other women or whatever on the outside. And yet, I think a big thing that I've really worked on and learned through your teachings is when we do these kind of practices with ourselves, then the self-acceptance, the creating safety within, and you just said it in another form, it goes to the outer world. It's the mirror. And the mirror is that's a whole episode for sure. But to the degree, and I think you can probably insert a lot of different words, but you said to the degree you feel safe with yourself and you're working on cultivating a consciousness of non-judgment and not criticism and more compassion is to the degree that you will feel safe with others, to the degree you can have intimacy and meet that inner child inside with just love and understanding and sit next to her and ask her, what do you need? It is truly to the degree that you will sit next to your best friend who's going through hardship, or your sister, or who your client, or whoever it is. And it's so true, because you always say too, your own transformation is your ticket, or however you say that, but it is so accurate, I should say, that when we do the inner work, it just exponentializes. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying is so true. I think that a girlfriend, a parent, a sibling, our child, a client, no one needs us to be perfect. Mm. But when someone else experiences our transformation, it is contagious.
Yeah.
We want what that person is doing. Mm-hmm. And so that is why I always say your own transformation is your greatest credential, is your highest ticket.
Yeah.
Because I know with my son or with clients or with my husband in any of the different areas of my world, I know that, let's just say with Will, and I'll just keep this thread of the example I was using, I'm not condoning that I was impatient with him. And though I am saying that as I began to transform, what happened, that's why I call it the spiral of transformation, because what happened is as I began to transform inwardly, that spiraled out and it started affecting him in positive ways. Mm-hmm. So we began to repair our relationship. And so Will didn't need me to be perfect.
Yeah.
He needed me to transform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as I transformed, he then needed me to repair, but I was repairing what was hurting inside of me. And as I was repairing what was hurting inside of me, then I was able to help repair, as you're saying, the outer. I had done damage and I was able to then repair it.
Mm-hmm.
And that spirals out. So as it begins within us, those around us do begin to feel, and I could tell that he felt it because energetically, he came closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriends or clients, they will come closer to you as you are transforming. It's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
It's attractive. Mm-hmm. It's not, the attractive part is not seeing someone perfect. That's actually very unattractive and uninteresting, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to see someone authentic, who's running the marathon with the blisters and, you know, falling down and getting back up, that is attractive to me, I will say. And so that's contagious. And our own transformation then becomes the very thing that then we can pass on and say to everyone listening, okay, take that step. I'm right here. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. You mm-hmm. can fall. You're safe with me. I'm not going to judge you. You have to find your safe circles.
I love everything that you're saying. And I, you know, one of the things that brings to mind is, and I think I was talking to a friend about it this morning, I've heard you say here and there across time that this stuff is not marketable. It's not on the shelf at Target. It's not, you can't order it from Amazon. You can take a class, you can invest in yourself that way, but it's like invisible, just like our soul qualities are invisible, but they're energetic, like you're saying, but it's not something that's being sold in culture per se, like other things have been sold to us because it doesn't cost anything. And in the same turn, it's a beautiful thing that it doesn't cost anything. And it's always accessible to us because it's right in us. It's waiting for us to tend to it.
Oh, mm-hmm. If that is not a message to shout from the rooftops for everyone listening, is that yes, a capitalistic culture, they can't stock it at Neiman Marcus or Target because Neiman Marcus and Target need us to keep coming back being consumers. Mm-hmm. So for every woman listening, a toxic patriarchal masculine society and culture wants you to feel like you're not enough, wants you to feel like you need that next pair of shoes, that next whatever it is, that next drink at 5 p.m., that next whatever you're going to go consume and buy. Mm-hmm. Culture wants you to feel not enough so that you'll keep buying and purchasing. And what you're saying is so important, Maureen, because everything that we're talking about today is free. It is priceless. Mm-hmm. The repairing that I have had with Will is priceless. No one could give me enough millions and billions of dollars because I transform. My transformation is priceless because it gave me back a relationship with this being that I adore that changed the whole trajectory of both of our lives. We would be disconnected and not experiencing this connection that we have. It's priceless, and it is at not so easy often, but it is as simple as committing to walking around the park every day, doing whatever it is that you need to feed your soul, not your human. Yes, you're human. Yes, take a bubble bath and eat well and eat fresh produce and yes, and more yes. And remember your soul, because when your soul is lit up, you will experience what is priceless, which is connections. That's all we're going to take with us. I'm going to take with me our relationship, our friendship. It's priceless to me. For everyone listening, if there is just one person out there that's really digging this conversation, please DM us, email us. We want to hear from you, because that for me is priceless. Yeah. That's what we'll take with us. For you guys listening in your own lives, if you're a single mom and you have three kids, or you're in corporate America and you really want to change and follow your own authentic calling, these are courageous steps. And so if you have those wins, please let us know. The one little step followed by one little step, one little step, and you begin to feel safe and supported and lean in to me. So that's why I get up every morning and share this information, because I have come to know that it is priceless, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm so happy that you named the different experiences people can have in their lives, because I was thinking of it almost in columns, like you, and you mentioned, I think you mentioned your book, but the Motherhood Evolution. And I think that that was really, like we were talking about earlier in the hour, just about how can I begin to apply this in my life? But for the working mother at home, for, you know, someone taking care of aging parents and is very overwhelmed and tired, for a woman struggling in her marriage, as for the woman contemplating a career change, across all domains, this work is applicable and accessible. So I thank you, because I think that that's true. And because, you know, Susie, you were and you have been, as kind of like we circle to the end here, a solo practitioner. I know there were parts of your life where you were not a solo practitioner and you were engaged in community. But, and you've had some, you know, people who have followed you and been with you for years, and still the soul care community that you have formed in the past few years. And then I've got Mystical Sisterhood community. Why is community, like, how is community community important because you're seeing it real time, what's forming, what's possible. Why do we need community? And I usually don't like to use that word need, but why do we sort of need community?
Yeah, it's absolutely a need. I love that you're using the word need now because we are interdependent beings. We are not here to be walking our path in solitude. And it's my experience when I speak with women and clients and students and friends that we get on this path and we can often feel like we are islands. Mm-hmm. And I know I felt like I must be the only mom miserably failing. Mm-hmm. I must be the only one. Or if I would be prompted to put a new course out there, I must be the only one who's scared to death that no one's going to be interested in mm-hmm. it. I must be the only one. And so I think that this is a very common experience, especially for women. We have been taught to be all things to all people at all times, and we have been taught to do it ourselves. And that makes for a very lonely life path. Mm-hmm. To be doing it all ourselves is not, I mean, I treasure my relationship with you. I mm-hmm. cherish it. I treasure my relationship with all of our soul care coaches and our community. We are so intimately connected and supporting each other. And the same with my girlfriends. And I treasure my connections. And so community is so needed, A, because we have been taught to do it all ourselves, to be all things to all people, to be so capable. And we are as women. And we aren't meant to journey alone. And then another thing that I hear from clients and students and friends and women all the time is that once you embark on this path and you're on a growth word, personal growth path, you want more like-minded conversations. You want more like-minded individuals in your life. And some of the people might start falling away in your life, or maybe they won't fall away, but you're just less interested. My son was just saying to me last week when we were visiting him, he was like, Mom, I just don't like small talk. I just don't like it. I'm not good at it. I don't like it. And I was like, I can so relate to you. And I think as you're talking about women coming into our own, and it's, you were saying, it's not just for some of us, it's for every single one of us. I think the more we get lit up about mystical sisterhood and soul care and spiritual psychology and these different communities and conversations, what it is that mm-hmm. it awakens this place inside of us where we want more of the same. Yeah. So there's the part of us that needs it because we feel like islands and we're not meant to be doing this journey alone and be lonely. So that part of us needs the support and the reflection and the mirroring back. You are not alone. I promise you guys, someone's listening, all the different things you referenced, a woman struggling in your marriage or, you know, single mom, you are not alone. My community, Maureen's community, we are here for you. And then on the other side, once you get a taste of it, you want to be in conversation and relationship with women and men who are immersed in this because we exponentially expand. You know, this is the last thing I'll say, in my community, I always start with a centering and an intention setting. And I always love the part where we all share our intentions. Yeah. Because when I hear your intention and then another woman's intention and then another somebody's intention, I start going, oh, I want that intention. Oh, I want that intention. Oh, I want that too. Oh, I see that too. We exponentially expand. When we come together in community, it's a way, you were referencing this earlier about how long it can take. Even though I've been doing it 25 years, we're just like at the tip of the iceberg. But when you're in community mm-hmm. and you're hearing other women and you go, oh, I want that too. I want that too. Oh, that's so cool. Oh, that's so great. I leave feeling like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And those soul qualities that are inherent in all of us, when they start to come from, you know, the woman next to you, the men in our group. And it's just, it's so inspiring. And I know that to be in conversation with you today and the language that we're using, it's like bathing in compassion. It's bathing in just this sea of understanding and abundance and all these things that we all want. And I hope the listener today tapped into a few new ways of thinking about how they relate to themselves, how things that they can use to say to themselves, remind themselves on. Because when you referenced ourselves as the young child, it's remembering who we are and who we came to be. And we're all just wanting to emerge once again as that really pure, kind of clear individual, it feels like.
Exactly. Exactly. And please, everyone listening, know you are not alone and you are so deeply supported. I mean, you have this mystical sisterhood community here. You have a soul care community now, a spiritual psychology community. You are not alone. You are welcomed. There is a space for you to receive the support that perhaps you need to fly, to sail, Absolutely. To soar, to shine.
Yeah. And Susie, you know, I'll put in the show notes where people can find you. Share your website and your Instagram, because I have a feeling that this episode is going to really resonate with a lot of people. I have a feeling that it is going to be shared far and wide. And I loved your invitation to reach out to us. These conversations are widening. They're available to you. These are places you can come and feel safe and feel heard for real. So where can listeners find you?
SusieLula.com, SusieLula.com is the easiest place. SusieLula on Instagram. And please, reach out. I have tons of free support. I have tons of free resources. If you want to just tip your toe into it, and maybe some of the language has been new, but you're interested, you're curious, please. And then if you're ready for a deep dive, I got some self-study courses and the certification you mentioned. So many, many, many different ways to be in community. And I thank you, Maureen. It is a pleasure to support you and to watch you and to be part of your journey and your expansion. And I feel so proud of you. And I feel for all of your listeners, they're just the luckiest girls to get to be with you every week on this beautiful podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And you've been able to see so many women begin to thrive. And that's why listen in, subscribe to Permission to Thrive, the podcast with Susie, because I just love that idea that you've been a teacher to me. I've exponentialized my messages and I'm just beginning. And then I'll be able to do that for the next woman. And it just pays it forward and forward. So I think I'll finish by saying too, that I love the fact that the way your body of work is growing, and it is truly kind of a menu of access points. And check all of it out on Susie's website. That was such a big gift for me in the beginning to listen to the classes. And I just love those so much, because they're just such an investment in self. And to circle it all back up of how I started at the top of the hour, is it is the time for women. It is the time to step into what is rightfully our space and place to take, you know, on earth. And investment in self and self-growth and personal growth, there's nothing better than it in my mind.
Yeah, I could not agree more. It's invaluable. It's priceless, as we said, and it's here for you. So please check it out. And I appreciate, I forgot about my own podcast, Permission to Thrive, but I think that's also neat that everyone listening can count on us every week to be here, every week to feel like you have a place that you will be fed deeply and richly every week. And then the courses are for sure an investment in, we have this one short life and we want every woman listening to feel that you can move through whatever you are here to move through so that you shine. And the course is definitely, they are soul food for sure. They're nourishing.
They really are. And, you know, I keep on adding things, but courses like the language of self-compassion, you know, when we're talking about like what you might want to bring into the world, what you might want to experience with your partner or your family members or your grown children or your little children, is there are places that you named it, Susie, that we can be really hard on ourselves. And we really want to learn how to learn the language of self-compassion. We want to learn how to work with our emotional messenger system, our inner child who is calling out for more comfort. And so they're all here for us so we can become what we're meant to become. So I just have so much gratitude and thank you so much for being here. And to the listener, I know that this is a good one.
Thank you for having me. And to everyone listening, may you feel well fed, well nourished, and come back in next time for Maureen, more of Maureen and Mystical Sisterhood.
Thanks, Susie. And we'll see the listener in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.